T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, let's get this thing going. Good morning, Pittsburgh. A very good Wednesday morning to you. I'm Ron Cook, as you heard our man Matty Cole behind the glass say there's no Starkey today. Starkey took the day off, had a romantic dinner and concert in Buffalo with his wife last night, and they stayed over, and they're driving back today. Matt, I was thinking about this driving in today. Can you imagine being married to Starkey? What must that be like to be married to him, that maniac, for years and years and years?
You know, do you think he tones it down a little bit?
I don't think he's capable of it.
Like, do you think that he has the same yelps? He has the same, you know.
Well, he said his yawns, his wife hates it, his daughter hates it.
Right. I feel like he might be on his best behavior at home, honestly. I think he releases it all his weirdness, all his quirkiness here.
You know.
Because he can't do it at home.
I told this story before. He took his family to Arizona for a Steelers game a few years ago, and we all were on the same flight Monday after the game coming home. And, you know, I'd never met his wife. And I walk up, and she sees me, and she immediately comes to me and hugs me and says, "You have my sympathy." And I go, "No, you have mine." And she goes, "You spend more." We both knew what we were talking about.
Right.
And she goes, "You spend more time with him than I do. You have my sympathy." So that was my first meeting with his wife. I hope they had a great time. He will be back tomorrow. I'm sure he will regale us with all of his highlights of
his Buffalo stories.
Of his trip to Buffalo. He was going to his favorite Italian restaurant there, and then they were going to some concert at some venue in Buffalo. Of course, I never heard of any of the people the last guy I know was like Frank Sinatra, you know? I mean, I don't follow today's music scene.
And he probably got himself into some kind of passive-aggressive fight with somebody.
Because that's exactly...
War of words.
That's exactly what he does. All right, Matt, first of all, how are you today? Everything good?
Everything is good.
We got a full show planned for you, man. And Doc Emery coming up this hour, 10:40. Anytime you can get the doctor on, it's a good show. I miss his voice.
Every time
I turn on an NHL broadcast, I miss the voice of hockey.
And I'm not just saying this because he's about to come on the show, but seriously.
He's like, the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same. Hockey broadcasts are not the same.
I'm not sure he isn't the best play-by-play guy in any sport of all time. You could make that argument. He's won, like, all these Emmys, like 15 of them, more than anybody. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be along at 10:40. Mike DeCourcy will be along at 1 o'clock. We've got a lot of basketball. Pitt at North Carolina tonight. All of a sudden seems like a very big game. We'll talk to DeCourcy about college basketball and a whole lot of other stuff. Jay Caulfield will be on at 1:40. Ray Fittipaldo at noon talking. He's live. I hope Ray's live at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Had problems getting there. I can't wait to hear that story and get Ray's take. Also, what I wrote about today, what we talked about yesterday, another contract extension seems imminent. Not imminent, might not happen until around training camp. It certainly seems as if it's going to happen, so we'll talk to Ray about that. But obviously the big story, why don't you play the clip? This is Mr. Tom Brady just about an hour ago on social media.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first, so I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year, so really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Got very emotional at the end. You know, when you're walking away from, 23 years in the league, you're walking away that long from anything. You're going to be emotional. Your life changes. Now, we all should have the golden parachute in retirement that he has. What, $37.5 million to broadcast games? Who's he going to be? Fox? Is that who's paying him? $37.5 million. We all should be able to step into that sort of retirement. But I get it that he would be emotional because football, he's been playing football for over half of his life.
Sure.
He's 45. He's been playing for 23 years.
Yeah. And as an aside, by the way, Fox has a decision to make on how they're going to implement him because Greg Olsen's actually really good. And so I don't know if they're going to take him off like the A games every week.
Paying Brady $37.5 million, the heck with Greg Olsen.
I guess.
You know, he becomes number two, I would think.
Yeah.
They're not paying Brady that much to hide him on meaningless games.
You're right. You're right.
They're not paying him that much to do.
I get it for the emotions of it. I just as a fan and as a football observer, I just can't go there. I mean, really, the real Tom Brady retired last year.
Well, two years ago. He led Tampa to the Super Bowl, and then he retired after the 2021 season.
Right. But I'm saying that the Tom Brady that we knew never really showed up on the football field this year. I mean, he was not the same guy.
He wasn't. Now, do you think that he said he wouldn't change a thing and this is for good? You believe him? The last time he had this emotional retirement, 40 days later, he came out and all of a sudden, I'm going to the Bucs. I'm joining the Tampa Bay Bucs.
You know, I got a great response on Twitter whenever I tweeted something about this earlier today, and is by Caleb D, who said, he's trying to become the next Punxsutawney Phil. Every February 1st, if he sees his shadow, it's 17 more weeks of football. If he doesn't, he retires, which is fantastic because I went back and looked, and last year it was February 1st.
Was it last year or the year before that he retired?
It was February 1st, 2021.
Okay, so he led Tampa to the Super Bowl, and then he retired.
Yeah, well, it was last year, February 1st, 2022. So it was last offseason that he threatened retirement.
After winning the Super Bowl.
It was the year after that. And then he was like, oh, wait. Maybe,
well, he only played 2 years
done.
In Tampa, right?
No, it was three.
Did he play three? That's right. He did. That's
they
right.
lost
he
to the Rams
he
in the NFC
play.
Championship game.
Right. That's right.
It all blends together.
We talked about Starkey mentioned this. You think somebody died 3 years ago, and then you find out it was 8 years ago because time flies. That's right. Starkey said the Seinfeld episode, Seinfeld's answer whenever anything asks what happened, about 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
About 5 years ago. That's I was thinking he only played two in Tampa, but he did play three.
Yeah.
That's right. He won the Super Bowl, had a very good year, almost, got him to the playoffs, and then last year, not so good.
I mean, really, he was a couple plays away from getting back to the Super Bowl last year.
So do you think this is it? Do you think I think it probably time.
I believe him more now than I did last time just because his play has suffered. And he always said all along that he was going to play until he sucked. Well, last year I think
he
mostly sucked.
He wasn't very good. Yeah, I think he's done too. And again, he's got that great job waiting for him. Doesn't have to put in the work off the field anymore. That to me is what amazing, these guys that last this long. I remember talking to Jerome about this all the time, and he said, if I could only play on Sundays, I'd play until I'm 60. Mm-hmm. He said, but I don't want to get up at 5 in the morning and work out 5 days a week in the off season to get ready to play a full season. I don't want to do that anymore. And I wonder if he's had enough. I mean, already he's defied the odds ridiculously so.
I think some guys think like that with Jerome, like, hey, I'm tired of doing this routine. But I think other guys like Tom Brady are afraid to not do the routine anymore. They're afraid of
what happens.
Yeah, what is life if I'm not doing this?
Well,
you know?
$37.5 million to broadcast games is a pretty good
life. Yeah, it's a pretty good thing to follow.
You know, that's the famous Bobby Bowden line, right? There's only one big event in life left after retirement. Think about that one for a while. Now, I don't think Tom Brady's thinking about that, but
not quite there.
I wonder if Jim Boeheim is. I know Joe Paterno did.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a fact. He said, I talked to him about that once. He said, look what happened to Bear Bryant. Coaches his last game in December and dies in January. Now, Bear Bryant lived a rough, you know, he smoked constantly, drank like a fish. He had a tough lifestyle, but I'll never forget Paterno saying it. I'm just wondering now Boeheim is still going at 78. If he's having any of those thoughts.
And as we talked about yesterday, I mean, he's been talking about retiring for what, 5-6 years now? You think that he's like been on a 1-year contract kind of.
They're afraid of what happens afterwards. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I thought about this. I was reading this book about Jimmy Johnson, Swagger, by my friend Dave Hyde in South Florida. And it's Jimmy Johnson's words, story in his own words. And he talked about how he worked 18-hour days, ignored his family. Both of his kids had major, major issues. Mm. One I know for sure with big-time drugs issue. And he so he left the Cowboys, he had falling out with Jerry Jones, and went to the Miami Dolphins. And Wayne Huizenga is the owner of the Dolphins. Wayne Huizenga is a billionaire. I think he started Waste Management, a billionaire. And he said, Jimmy, I appreciate you working so hard, but you got to start to think about QTL. And Jimmy goes, what's QTL? He goes, quality time left in your life. You better start to enjoy it a little bit. Now, it's easier, I guess, for a billionaire to talk about quality time left. Not everybody can afford to retire and enjoy that time.
Right.
But that one really hit me. That one hit me hard. And I'm just wondering, you know, Brady is certainly not thinking along those lines, but you've been doing something for half of your life. You got to wonder what it's going to be like without it.
And sometimes there is that. I mean, they pay the price, like you're talking about, of a lack of quality time with his family. I mean, yes, you have a high-profile job.
Ended up getting a divorce, because of it, with Giselle. I don't know. I guess the only thing that would make this better, and he's tremendous, the GOAT, I get that. But I'm ready for him to move on.
Yeah, me too.
And now I just wish Aaron Rodgers would. I am so tired of him. Did you see he was on McAfee's show yesterday saying he doesn't understand how they're talking, trading him without talking to me? You know, I'm so tired of him. You know, and he still hasn't made up his decision. Does he want to go back to Green Bay? Does he want to go somewhere else? I'm tired of him too.
Hey,
I'm more tired of him than I am of Brady.
I think because he was well, I can't even say that he, you know, had more of a platform, because Brady has his own podcast where Jim Gray, you know, interviews him all the time.
Right.
So he had plenty of opportunities to speak as well. But yeah, Rodgers doesn't hold anything back. And I don't even think half the time I don't think he means to come off the way he does.
I think he's really narcissistic.
I don't know.
Really narcissistic. I think he loves being the center of attention.
And he's going to drag this thing out throughout the offseason, I'm sure. We're still going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers news come, you know, April, May.
Well, he owes the Packers some decision. Does he want to come back and play with them? You know, I don't know.
I'm
tired of him.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems like that's reached a point of no return as well. Just the way that they petered out at the end of that season and how just the, it would
well,
be
they
so
actually
fitting.
Peter out until the very last game.
Until the last game,
they charged down the stretch. To be able to, if they'd have won the last game, they'd have been in the playoffs against Detroit.
But just that performance against the Detroit Lions of all teams that
I
they
know.
Had beaten up for so many years, and the way that it ended, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's going to continue.
All right. I am going to open it up. What do you think of Brady's retirement? Would you like to see Aaron Rodgers retire? How is Brady going to be remembered? You may tell me first as a cheater. The Steelers players all believe that Brady was a part of the cheating. You know, it has to land at Belichick. I guess he's the one that approved it, but the Brady knew what defenses the Steelers were in. And, you know, so are you going to remember him as a cheater? Should this impact his Hall of Fame? It's not. In football, they're going to vote him in unanimously the first time he is. But I'm curious what you think. 412-928-9370. That's also our Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I'd love to hear what you think about Brady's retirement. How will you remember him? Is he going to be remembered as the GOAT? Do you think anybody playing now has a chance to, you know, maybe not top seven Super Bowls? I don't think anyone's going to do that. But I'm not sure Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be remembered as a better overall quarterback than Tom Brady. Without all the titles, I think he's got a chance.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we got Chelsea Messenger coming along with her probably early Super Bowl picks, I would imagine. And we also got the General Jeff Patton with the Starkey's Card of the Week. But let's go to Brian. See what his thoughts are on the big news of the day, Tom Brady retiring after 23 seasons. Hey, Brian, how
hey,
are
Ron.
You?
Hey, Ron. Fantastic. Well, yes, he's a cheater, but you can't take that. I was there the day he beat us in the 04 championship game, the one Chris talks about with freezing. He's a great quarterback. I think you'll see that with Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. You got to appreciate what he did, though. I'm a fan, but he's also going to have an asterisk after his name for some of the games I believe he cheated in and the Deflategate.
I don't believe Deflategate did anything. I think that was much ado about nothing. He ends up getting suspended because I think Goodell thought he let the Patriots off too easy for Spygate. You know, you want to blame him for the Spygate, okay. I don't think the football deflation had anything to do with anything myself.
I also agree with you with Aaron Rodgers. Great quarterback. I'm sick of hearing about him. I wish he would retire. Who cares? That's kind of how I feel about him. I'm with you with Aaron Rodgers. I really don't like the guy.
Well, that makes two of us. Thanks, Brian. Have a great day. All right. We're going to – on the line now is the host of the Daily Tip and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Chelsea Messenger. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to check out the Daily Tip podcast for more of Chelsea Messenger analysis. Just search BetMGM wherever you find your podcast. Chelsea, good morning. How are you today on this Wednesday morning?
Yeah, we have a lot to marinate on as the Super Bowl odds have already been released.
All right, give me what you like.
Yeah, I'm still deciding on some things, but I think I have an initial lean when it comes to the Super Bowl, and a lot of it is because I have a futures ticket on the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm going to lean towards the Eagles. We saw this line open as the Chiefs being favorites, and immediately we saw what the odds makers are calling sharp action on the Eagles. We talked with the VP of trading for BetMGM, Jason Sky, who told us as soon as they released that number, the sharps were all over the Eagles. So maybe they were playing the Eagles as underdogs, because you've got to consider that as well. They were playing a different number, because right now the Eagles favored by 1.5. But any way you slice it, it looks like this is supposed to be a pretty tight game.
All right. Do you have any prop bets yet? Or it's early on. I know we're going to be getting a lot of those in the next 10 days or so.
Yeah, I'll do a rational one, and then I'll do a fun one. Let's start with Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown. He has been the guy in the postseason for the Chiefs. He scored a touchdown in each of the last five postseason games. That's every game this year in the postseason and every game last year in the postseason. He's the guy. He's the security blanket for Patrick Mahomes. He's minus 120 to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And plus, we have a pretty high total. Points total set at 50. So they're expecting a lot of scoring. I know the Eagles are number one against the pass, but still, I think he finds Travis Kelce at some point in the Super Bowl.
And I understand you have an MVP interesting situation.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts here, and maybe a little sprinkle on Hassan Reddick. at 30-1 because I feel like the Eagles are one of those teams that if they win, it's not clear cut that it's Jalen Hurts, but I'm going to ride with that because I do think he's been the storyline of the season. It's his improvement and how far he's come as a quarterback. So I think he's somebody who can certainly run it in. He can do it with his feet, and also he can get it down the field. But if you're willing to take a risk at 31, Haason Reddick, I know the numbers are stacked against defensive players, but still, if you get pressured on Patrick Mahomes and you make him look human, kind of like we saw in that Super Bowl, the Bucks and the Chiefs a couple, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, I think you could give it to a defensive player if it is a low-scoring affair. So maybe worth a sprinkle there, but my money would still be on Jalen Hurts MVP because I do think the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Chelsea, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, and then we'll only be a couple days away from the big game.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chelsea. Have a great day. That was the host of the Daily Tip, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Chelsea Messenger. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We're going to talk to Jeff Patton here momentarily. Starkey's card of the week. The general always comes up with, from the baseball card castle in Cranberry, always comes up with a great and topical card. I'm not sure who I'd guess. Maybe it'd have to be Brady today, right?
Yeah, if he can turn that around. I don't know when he makes the decisions to go with the card of the week.
The general's a
deaf. Yeah, he's light on his feet.
He's quick on his feet. Is he ready for us?
Not quite.
All right, he's going to be with us momentarily. He has to go with Brady, I would think. You know, there's certainly has to be a million cards to choose from with Tom Brady, right?
Right.
When you play for 23 years, maybe he'll have his rookie card for you. You know, when Brady looked like he weighed about 140.
I know.
Although I saw that video today, he still looks younger now than he ever did.
Honestly, I don't know if his weight's the same or what.
I mean, I don't know what he's doing. You know, his diet and all the, I'm sure the supplements he takes, but he looks younger than he ever did.
I think he was a little more pudgy when he first came into the league, a little softer maybe.
Oh man,
there's that famous draft pick of him where he's like shirtless.
That was before. I think that was even before the draft,
right?
At the combine or something.
Yes, just the most regular man picture. And then if you would have taken that picture and said, "Hey, this man's going to win seven Super Bowls.
This guy's going to be the greatest of all time." Right. You think, you'd have got some good betting odds on that?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Programming note, the great Doc Emery coming along in just about 10 minutes. You don't want to miss that. I can't wait to talk hockey and baseball. I can't wait to hear what Doc thinks. He's a big Pirates fan about the return of Andrew McCutchen. Should be pretty good.
I'm sure he was just as excited as anybody, honestly, because he is the –
he's the ultimate Pirates fan.
The Pirates fan, yeah.
He moans about decisions. He's a fan. You know, totally professional in hockey, but a fan when it comes to baseball.
And so, I wonder if he had many run-ins with McCutchen as well. Like, I don't know how much he, like, interacted with players.
He went to spring training every year, and I think, don't you remember, he broadcast an inning with Greg Brown?
I do remember
I'll ask him about that. I'm eager to hear what he thinks about the Penguins, what they still have left. And also, Connor McDavid, just the numbers just are so unreal. I mean, this is a season for the ages for this guy and what he thinks of him. So we got a lot of ground to cover with Doc, who's still doing a lot of work for NBC, by the way. But I miss his on those broadcasts, his voice and his calming presence, even when he's excited.
Yes.
Has me watching the game.
I was just going to say, he had such a innate ability to be excited in the big moments, but also not like drown them out by him talking over it and also not getting overly excited. Like, it never sounded fake with him. It was always genuine, but he captured the moment so perfectly and always described things well, even on TV, because I think a lot of TV broadcasters can over talk and over describe things.
Oh, he was perfect.
And he played it right down the line.
It many times. I think he's the best play by play man of all time in any sport. I think I can make that argument. So,
and hockey is a very hard sport to call. Having done it a few times in college, I mean, the speed of it, having to keep up with everything, especially on the radio. I mean, Mike Lang, I don't know how he did it for so many years.
Well, Josh Getzoff does a great job.
Yeah,
with
he does.
It too. You know, it reminds me, I go far enough when Bob Prince did it for a season, and He was always known for they got it, we got it, they got it, seriously, we got it, they got it, we got it. And that's all he could do.
About 5 minutes into the game, that's what you want to resort to. It's like, it's just well, that person has it. Well, they shot one. Up, okay. Changing possessions. Now they have it again. I mean,
well,
it's so easy to get behind.
The doc will be joining us here. We got a great show planned. Ray Fittipaldo at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, talking about that and about what seems like an inevitable extension for Mike Tomlin. I wrote about that in the Post-Gazette for today, saying that I'm just so tired of the Steelers' way. You know, I don't think the Steelers' way is working anymore. It's been a long time since it actually did work. So if you get a chance, check that out. But Ray will be along at noon. Mike DeCourcy at 1 to talk some basketball, college basketball, Pitt, North Carolina. A big game tonight. So Carolina, Pitt can really take an added step towards its resume for the NCAA tournament with a win tonight. I see Joe Lenardi had both Pitt and Penn State as among the last four teams, the final four in, I guess, that would play in the one of the play-in games. I think they're still in Dayton, if I'm not mistaken. They've always been at Dayton unless they switched to locations on me. Pitt and Penn State playing, that would be a fun game.
And
that would be a fun game. And West Virginia a little bit higher, at least before their loss at TCU last night. They're one of the first final four byes.
Right, and I hope if it makes sense, like if both of those teams are on the bubble like that, that the NCAA would have the wherewithal to put those two together to play that game. You know, like I hope they wouldn't separate that and make it two separate playing
games.
It's
not Pitt-Penn State football.
No, it's not.
But it would still be
still
fun.
Cool, though, yeah.
Even if those teams can just get into the tournament, it would be absolutely fun.
How many years has that happened in history?
Yeah, not very.
Both of those teams have been in the NCAA
tournament
at the same
times,
time.
Not too many times, that's for sure. All right, it's time to welcome in Jeff Patton, the general from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It's Starkey's Card of the Week. Jeff, good morning to you, and I'm guessing Tom Brady all day is the card you're going to be giving away this week. Am I right?
Mr. Cook, good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, TB12 trumped Patrick Mahomes this week. Mahomes is our regular giveaway. It's probably the best card we've ever given away. We got a Gem Mint 10 Patrick Mahomes, but we're also going to add a Tom Brady Gold Select card from this year. How could you not honor Tom Brady this week?
Hey, maybe the greatest of all time with a guy who I think has a chance to be right there with him before his career is over. You said it might be the best card you have. What is Mahomes doing that makes it so terrific?
It's a fantastic card. He's in his red Chiefs uniform, scrambling to the right, ready to let go one of those crazy passes. But it's also a graded card. It's a Gem Mint 10, which is on a scale of 1 to 10, obviously the best you can get. And the Brady card is an interesting one also. It's a gold laser card that just came out. It's in his Michigan uniform. We pay homage to the entire career for Tom Brady. Thought we would do past and present greats this week.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That's a Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, Jeff Patton. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Ron.
The Starkey Card of the Week contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at the 937thefan.com contesting page. All right, I'm thrilled to death to be able to go out to the Nemacolin Fan Hotline. The Fan Hotline is presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. To remind, welcome in a great guest, a friend of this show, and I'm honored to call him my friend. I'm talking about the great Doc Emmerich. Man, Doc, I missed your voice. Let's hear it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, and I've got a Clemente 56, both Bowman's and Topps. It's not a rookie, but it's decent, and I don't care what it's worth because I'm keeping it. It means a lot to me. So does my Mazeroski 59, that's all water over the bridge. We're not talking value here other than sentimental.
Well, you got a lot of sentimental value, and let's start right there. First of all, how are you doing, and what are you doing these days? Man, I miss your voice. Every time I turn on an NHL broadcast nationally, I miss you. I've said this many times, not just because you're on. The best play-by-play man in any sport of all time. That's what I think of you.
You're so kind, Ron. No, I'm staying busy. NBC had me doing one video essay a month, and they apparently knew how much I cared about dogs. By the way, I turned over my Penguins calendar. Cindy Himes does this great calendar with the Penguins and dogs and cats for the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh, HARP. And so Jake Gensel said goodbye because he was in January. And today it's Kasperi Kapanen holding a kitten. It's kind of a contrast in size. But that's my February month calendar on my Penguins calendar. Anyway, they have the National Dog Show on Thanksgiving that's broadcast. And they asked me to devote last November's piece to an ode to dogs. So I did that. But it varies each month. I did one on the Wisconsin band and their director, who retired recently after 50 years, and their link between himself and Tony Granato, the coach of the hockey team. Tony was one of the students in the professor's class in music appreciation, and so that was kind of fun to do. We're working on one now on old college rinks that aren't used anymore. Many of them haven't been used in over 50 years. One at North Dakota was unheated. Can you imagine playing a college hockey game at North Dakota and there's no heat in the place? It's minus 30.
Like a February night at North Dakota, you know, that can be unpleasant.
Yes. Red Berenson was speaking about it. So that will run sometime on Peacock, on the Notre Dame coverage of college hockey on Peacock. It'll run sometime in January or February, I think. It's kind of hard to find pictures on a lot of those old places, but we're scraping it up. So that's what's fun, and that's what I'm busy doing, as well as spending time with Joyce and the dog and the horses and other things that are fun to do. And it's 20 degrees here and sunny and cold.
Well, Doc, let's start. You mentioned Clemente and Mazeroski. What did you think about the Pirates bringing back Andrew McCutchen? And I'm curious, you know, you've gone to spring training. Did you meet McCutchen? Do you have any kind of relationship with him?
No, I didn't, unfortunately, because in those years when Greg Brown was very kind to invite me on, Andrew was off in other places. I did get to call one of his games with Bob Costas. And so I wasn't really able to spend any time with Andrew, and I'm sorry for it because he has such an illustrious past. He's a great human being, of course, and I'll say all the things that everybody in Pittsburgh knows. So there's no point in my my demonstrating once again that I have a tremendous grasp of the obvious. But it's good because of the memories that we have of his time in Pittsburgh. And how sad we were to see him go. It's good to have him back again. And I'll just say that. I wish he was part of a more expensive team, but those are just my selfish things. I just noticed that their estimated payroll is 76 in an open marketplace, and the Penguins in a restricted marketplace are spending $7 million more on their payroll this year than what the Pirates are in a free market. But I wish that they could spend more to have a better team with Andrew on it. But I'm glad to see him back because that was part of, remember the chance of MVP? And sure enough, he won it 10 years ago and was a part of a team that went to a fifth game against St. Louis. Unfortunately, Wainwright was the pitcher, so that wasn't very good. I was in St. Louis the night of Game 5. I was up the street. We had the Blackhawks and the St. Louis Blues that night on NBC, but I had to walk through all of those celebrating Cardinal fans, and they were very nice. None of them recognized me and said anything about the Pirates.
Well, I'll tell you, McCutchen is always going to be remembered here for turning around a dead franchise. You remember Sid Thrift's great line in the late 80s before Leland, when Leland came in and turned it around. It ain't easy resurrecting the dead. And they hadn't missed the playoffs for 20 years in a row. McCutchen was the number one guy to turn that around.
Yeah, Jim Leland and McCutchen were both wonderful people. And and were definite personalities in a far different way, but they were definite personalities, and people in Pittsburgh like that. I mean, they like anyone that is someone they can rally around. And, you know, we've had those through the years in and around Pittsburgh, and they're different. I mean, Terry Bradshaw's different than Mario. Sid is different than Andrew. And Jim Leland is a lot different than Chuck Knoll was. I mean, Pittsburgh has been blessed with some wonderful personalities of a different kind, but they've all been leaders of a different kind, and they've all made a difference in the landscape there.
Well, I just hope McCutchen can still play. The fans here clearly are excited, Doc. It just looks like they're throwing a bone to – you like dogs. They're throwing a bone to a starving dog here, just looking for anything good, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand that, and the fans probably saw that too. But if he can bring back any vestige of what was there in the past, it'll excite people and give them something while they're hoping that these prospects come about, and we just have to have hope with that. I sure hope, and boy, H-O-P-E, that's one of those words that I have used sitting next to you on opening day a number of years. Remember that opening day when Andrew's mother sang the anthem?
I do.
You and I are sitting there.
I do.
Andrew's mother sang the anthem, and then and then I had to leave early because the last flight for Detroit was, I think, around 4:45. So I had to leave. Now, I get out to Friday's at the airport, and I'm sitting there. And later, I told Neil this story. So it goes into extra innings, and I'm sitting there at Friday's watching the game on television. And Neil leads off, I don't know, the 10th or 11th inning, and he hits the home run. And this is like a scene out of Major League, because we have all sorts of people sitting there watching the game on opening day. We don't have someone with a multi-hued mohawk haircut, but we've got almost every other group that is there, every other social group that's there, and they're all high-fiving one another because Neil hit the home run on opening day. And it was one of those lifetime memories for me surrounding the Pirates.
All right, let's talk a little Penguins. There's a little bit of concern around town here. Because they're at the All-Star break. First of all, they're not going to play for 10 days. They're not going to play again until next Tuesday. They're eight.
Well, maybe Jerry will get a little help.
That would certainly help. They're in eighth place, Doc. They have the last wild card spot. But Buffalo breathing down their neck. The Islanders just made a big trade with Vancouver for Horvat. Do the Penguins still look legit to you, bringing everybody back, you know, for what, the 17th season with Sid Malkin and Letang? Do they still look legit to you?
Yeah, and you know, you consider, too, that I was talking money earlier. It's like $83, $84 million is where they are. They're right in the high 83s, which is where the cap is. But they only spent about $20 million to do it, so they got some dedicated three people there to not ask for the world to be back, but you have that kind of experience. And I know Letang's had some injury things, but he's back to his feisty self, and he's doing the usual things. But Buffalo is certainly a threat because they've turned it on after an 8-game losing streak, and they could pass Pittsburgh tonight because they're home and they're playing Carolina, and Carolina's somebody that can slow everybody down. But Buffalo is only two goals behind Edmonton and Boston for the overall league lead in goals scored. That's how dangerous Buffalo is offensively. Defensively, their save percentage isn't even .900. So that's a vulnerability that the Sabres have. But Pittsburgh has got a lot of company. But in games played, they've got four in hand on Washington, which won again last night. And so they're in a cluster, and it's not going to be simple for them down the stretch. They're just going to have to continue to get the points that they've been getting lately. What is it, 8 points points in eight of the last 11 games?
They have,
they've got
some loser points.
Tristan,
yeah,
back, that'll mean something.
No, Jari is a key to them, Doc, too. You know, you hate to say a guy is injury prone, but he's had a lot of injuries, and they can't win without him. You know, I just don't think that Casey DeSmith is good enough to carry them.
And the trade deadline is not until March the 3rd.
And they don't have any money. As you said, they're up against the cap. That's a problem for them, for Hextall.
Well, they might have, it might be bodies.
Trade money for money, I guess, right? I mean,
well, it might be bodies for bodies.
I don't
know.
You
never know. That's one of the things that they have to weigh. They still have time to do that because we're only on February 1. But there was one thing perhaps you noticed, because you've watched a lot more of these games than I have. I see them occasionally on television, and I watch a lot of them on the radio, too. Two Niners always been one of the guys that I'm amused at and I laugh out loud at. But anyway, so here's the Washington game a week ago, and Ovechkin comes out in the early shifts and drills a couple of guys. Not odd. He's 240 pounds. He does that a lot. But then Nick Jensen, who's the average size in the NHL at 6'1", 205, he hammers Sid. Now, I've got the game on the radio, and Phil says, someone needs to do something. I'll admit I'm a dinosaur, and maybe Phil will say he is too. But there's a different kind of intimidation now in the sport than there was in the days at the Igloo with Battleship Kelly and Jay Caulfield and guys like that. But even six seasons ago, when Tom Wilson put Zach Aston-Reese out, the next fall, Tom Sestito, 6'5", 220, made an appearance, and it was understood what was going to happen. And Tom did just fine on Wilson. The new era frowns on that, but somehow you have to not let valuable players get run, even in 2023. The solution was a lot simpler back in 1975, but we've had the instigator rule in ever since 1996. And what usually happens is one guy gets 17 minutes and the other guy gets anywhere from 0 to 5 to 7. And that punishment gets meted out. Sometimes not too effectively because the linesmen get in rather quickly. There isn't any rule, Ron, that's perfect, but we had a game on NBC. It's one of those Thanksgiving afternoon games on Friday afternoon, and it was the New York Rangers at the Boston Bruins. Rangers are up 2-1 in the second period, and Matt Beleski of the Bruins drills Derek Stepan of the Rangers into the boards and breaks one of his ribs, and he's down, and there's no penalty. And Dylan McIlrath of the Rangers sees this, and he goes after Beleski, and they fight. McIlrath gets 17. Beleski gets 5. The Bruins get the power play, and they tie the game. And they go on to win it 4-3. And some argued that was the turning point in the game. But no rule is perfect. And so all I'm saying is that even though our game has changed markedly, every once in a while, as Phil pointed out, your captain should not be run. That's all.
Doc, we're talking to the great Doc Emmerich here on the cooking.
Alias the dinosaur.
I would hardly describe you as a dinosaur. We're talking to the great Doc Emmerich here on the Cook and Joe Show. You mentioned Ovechkin. You know, that Penguins game the other night, they had a man spying him on the power play. You know where he's going to be. And he still scores that one-timer on the power play. How does he do it? He's got 32 goals this year, 812 for his career. Do you think he can get, what's Gretzky, 894, I believe. Do you feel like he can get Gretzky?
Oh, yeah. And Gretzky pointed this out at the All-Star game in St. Louis a few years ago, and I never forgot what Wayne said. He said there's a reason that he's going to pass it, and here it is. Number one, he's always on a good team. Washington may be number one in their division, or they may be just making the playoffs, as it may be this year. But they're always a decent team. Number two, he's got a natural gift. He was born with the ability to score, born with athletic ability. Number three, he doesn't get hurt. He gets suspended once in a while, but he doesn't get hurt. For that reason, he's going to Wheeler. I mean, he's going to get 50 again, and that will set the NHL record for having the most 50-goal seasons. Currently, he's tied with Mike Bossy and Wayne Gretzky. It's amazing what the guy can do, and the goalies can't stop. I remember talking with Brian Boucher when we were working together at NBC about him setting up on the left circle with the right-hand shot. He said, you know he's coming, But you got to play the pass across. You got to move a little bit. Otherwise, the Oshie on the other side or somebody on the other side is going to bury one on you and make you look sick. So then you move across, and you know that if he puts it past you, at least it's in the net and it's not going to hurt you. But if it hits you, it's going to sting. But just as well that you get it or at least get a piece of it. And that's what he's blessed with. He's 240 pounds, 6'3", and he's got lots of strength and he can bring it. And there's not much you can do.
Doc, before I let you go, I got to ask you about one other guy, Connor McDavid. What he's doing is just remarkable to me. 41 goals, most in the league. 51 assists, second most in the league. So he's got 92 points in 50 games, the most points by 16. His own teammate, Leon Draisaitl, has 76. What are we watching here? I mean, this guy is going to go down. To me, I've talked to people like Eddie Johnston and Craig Patrick who say they've never seen, ever seen anyone skate like he does. What do you see when you see Connor McDavid?
Yeah, there's another goal-scoring natural and an ability that you're just blessed with at birth practically and developed very well as a very young man. He's 26, and, you know, in 7 years he's got 100 points in six of the seven seasons. One of the other ones he was hurt and missed about half the year, so this will be another year that he'll get 100 points and scoring titles and all kinds of honors. But what he can do with his speed – and then what he can do with his hands and his stick handling and just miraculous highlight reel goals because of how he can embarrass goaltenders and defensemen. It's the things that you try and practice seemingly that he does in games. And it's remarkable and it puts you in awe when you sit at home and watch it, let alone when you try to play against him. Think about being a teammate of his, how good it would make you feel. Just need to be reinforcements on that team to make Edmonton a stronger, that's all. Right now they're a wild card team.
How important is it to a player's legacy to win, Doc? I mean, he's going to have unbelievable stats, but he's never really won anything. Do you think he stays in Edmonton for the long term? And I'm really interested in if you remember the day Gretzky was traded to the Kings, what that was like in the NHL world.
Well, what it was like in the NHL world would probably be different than if Connor goes somewhere else, because Gretzky had already won championships before. And Connor, if he leaves Edmonton, may not have won a championship before, but undoubtedly he will go somewhere else where he will, because he'll have the right of picking that as he gets in another year or so. I'm not sure exactly when that contract is up. I didn't look ahead to determine that, but he'll have the option of going anywhere, and he'll go somewhere where he can win. I don't sense that the Oilers are one of those teams that is going to be strong enough in goal and strong enough defensively to win this year, but I've been fooled before. But he's a wonderful player to watch. And another is David Pastrnak, who is really right behind him in goals. And that's pretty phenomenal when you have somebody of McDavid's talent that is up there and is leading the league in goals. But here is Pastrnak right behind him, only trailing with 38.
How important is it to legacy to win? I mean, that's one of the things we love about Sid here. The three cups, the two Olympic gold medals, including, I imagine you were on the call in Vancouver, right? The golden goal.
Yes.
For Canada. I mean, that's what Sid is known for, winning, and I'm just wondering how important that is to a guy's legacy.
Well, in terms of getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame, it doesn't mean anything because, you know, Jean Rattel, there are a lot of guys, Rod Gilbert, that never won Stanley Cups that made it to the Hall of Fame. But in terms of the legacy of the everyday fan, perhaps Stanley Cups help, but I can't really speak to that because I'm one of those guys that studies all kinds of things like that, and it doesn't register with me whether they won a Stanley Cup or not. It's just how they played and what kind of a contributor team-wise they were.
Doc, I've loved every second of this, but I got to ask you one thing before you go. What are you doing on Friday, April 7th?
probably watching on TV, even though my heart will be in a chair next to you.
You mean you're not coming in for the opener this year?
No.
You missed it last year, and everybody was disappointed, most of all, me.
Yes, I know. It looks that way now. My attendance record has suffered over the years. It's one of those memories that I always treasure, and maybe one of these years I'll get back. But it doesn't seem that this year will be one of those, Ron. But if that changes between now and the 7th of April, I will let you know.
You better.
I will wind up watching a lot of games, including the road opener, as it were. And I sure hope they can get off to a good start. We always have hope. There's that four-letter word again.
I'll keep that seat warm for you and keep it empty just in case you show up, okay?
Okay.
Doc, I appreciate it, man. Stay well. My best to your bride, and good luck with the dog and the horses and all that. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
God bless you, young man.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc. Not many people have called me young man, that's for sure. Thank you. How fun was that, huh?
He's the best, man.
How fun is it hearing that voice?
And even in conversation, like I noticed as the interview went on, he still wraps up his thoughts in like a storytelling way as if it were scripted. But I know it's not scripted.
No, it's not scripted. It's not scripted at all.
Incredible.
Yeah, I am so excited. I sent out a note to him last week asking if he could come on today, and he said, you know, a little busy with NBC. Can we do it a little later in the month? And then he reached out to me Sunday and said, how about 10 o'clock hour? You got anything? So he came back to me to come on.
How about that?
I'm touched by him. We had a tradition, and I'm disappointed. He didn't get in last year for the opener. We always sit. He requests his seat next to me. We sit in the third row of the press box, and he sits next to me, and he didn't make it last year. Now he says he doesn't think he can make it this year. One of my treasures, and I'm not a guy that gets my picture taken with people. I think the only one I've ever asked to have my picture taken with was Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. He was in town for a Parkinson thing. Parkinson's disease is what took down my dad, and I had my picture taken with Ali. We're at the press box the last time he was here. He goes, Ron, do you mind if I take a selfie? He asked for a selfie with me.
With the great Ron Cook.
With me. Is that a cool story,
man,
or what?
That is awesome.
And he sent it out, and I'm just touched to talk with him. All right. I kept him on a little too long. We'll make up the time. We got a lot of ground to cover. Jay Coffield will be along talking hockey as well at 1:40.
Don't worry about the time, Ron. Joe would have already, I mean, he would have blown out the first two segments.
Well, anytime you get the voice, the voice of the NHL, you got to ride with them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.